This Is Your Life, episode 56. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be talking about assembling an informal team of trusted advisors who can help you take advantage of the opportunities that are coming your way and avoid the biggest mistakes you'll inevitably encounter. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Platform University, an online membership site for helping you launch your personal or professional platform and taking it to the next level. And you can find out more at platformuniversity.com. By the way, if you're already a member, be sure and join us for our live monthly call tomorrow, Thursday, May the 30th at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This call will be focused on developing recurring revenue and passive income streams, including membership sites, something we've been talking about all month. And by popular demand, we have scheduled this call during the day to enable our members overseas to have a chance to join us live, and we plan to do this a few times a year. So again, check us out at platformuniversity.com. We would love to have you as a member, and if you're serious about building your platform, you couldn't make a better investment than in this membership site. When it comes to your success, your advisors can make you or break you. In the late 1990s, I made a terrible financial mistake, catastrophic almost. And as a result of my success as a writer and a speaker, I had made some significant extra income. And I was also holding down a full-time job, and I could barely keep up with it all. And as a result, I hired a financial advisor to help me manage my money. Seemed reasonable, right? I'd heard him speak at a conference where I was also a speaker. And I was really taken with him. I was impressed by what he said. And we got further acquainted backstage during the conference. Long story short, I hired him to assist me in managing my money. It seemed like, at the time, an answer to prayer. And I thought it was very smart. And as it turns out, it was probably the dumbest thing I'd ever done in my life. And that's saying a lot. But the first thing he did was he set up a tax shelter for my investments. And you know, I had a significant tax burden. I was all for reducing that as much as I could. I thought his plan was creative and brilliant, and it was going to save tens of thousands in taxes alone. Only problem was, it turned out to be a scam. And I didn't realize it until 4 years later when I got a notice from the IRS. Talk about something taking your breath away. I almost passed out when I got the notice. Well, it took me about 3 years to get it resolved. I went through agony. I mean, it was expensive. It was time-consuming. I went through an excruciatingly detailed audit, scores of sleepless nights, and the uncertainty of it just gnawed at me constantly. Thankfully, my nightmare eventually came to an end, but at a huge cost. With interest and penalties, I paid more than twice my entire investment. Everything I had earned during that time and extra income went up in smoke. And it was a miracle that I survived. And the point is, your advisors can make you or break you. Mine nearly broke me. And in the process, I learned four hard but important lessons. Lesson number one, you can't succeed alone. You know, for years I was a lone ranger. I didn't seek anyone's counsel. I thought I could do it myself. No one could measure up to my standards. But frankly, I was just young and arrogant. I was my own advisor, and I had a fool for a client. But thankfully, God was merciful. He gently showed me that I couldn't succeed on my own. I needed other people. We're meant to exist in community and meant to survive and thrive with the advice of others. And it's true for me, and it's true for you too. So lesson number one, you can't succeed alone. Where are you trying to go it alone? You know, I can promise you, if you're trying to go it alone, you're inevitably going to hit at least obstacles, probably some setbacks, and maybe some catastrophic failures, and you can avoid those with gathering together some trusted advisors. And that leads me to lesson number two. You need trusted advisors. The truth is, we all need advisors. We can't be experts in everything. And any good advisor will assist you with five key tasks. They'll educate you with relevant and timely information. They'll provide objectivity in evaluating your current situation. They'll seek to understand your goals and why they're important to you. They'll suggest several possible strategies for achieving your goals. And they'll use their expertise and their network of contacts to help you accomplish your goals in the quickest, most economical way possible. So lesson number two, you need trusted advisors. It may not feel like it. You may be avoiding it. You may never have thought about it. But trust me, you need trusted advisors. Lesson number three, you need multiple advisors. Three times the Bible says, in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 11:14, Proverbs 15:22, and Proverbs 24:6. The key word is multitude. One lone advisor doesn't qualify. And this is where, frankly, I missed the boat. I had one advisor, and the truth is, I should have had at least another advisor, someone else that could give me a second opinion. But you need several advisors, and you need to be intentional and thoughtful about collecting them. Now, I currently have several trusted advisors. I don't make any significant moves, either personally or professionally, without consulting with them. And these are like concentric circles for me, radiating out from the center, and they provide multiple layers of protection. And let me just give you an idea of who makes up my advisory team. First of all, my wife. Gail and I have been married now for almost 35 years, and she's my best friend. She's my biggest cheerleader, often my toughest critic, but she knows firsthand my strengths and my weaknesses, honestly, better than I know them myself. And I can always count on her to speak the truth in love. So any significant move, I'm going to run it by Gail. I want to get her sense of the direction, and I really trust her intuition. And if she says to me, and I've learned this the hard way, but if she says to me, I don't feel good about this, you know, I respect that. I honor that, even when she can't clearly articulate the reason why. I know that if it's in her gut, she's probably picking up on something intuitively that I need to pay attention to. The rationale may become clear later on. The reasons may become apparent later on, but I'm going to respect that until we have agreement and we're in alignment before we make a major move. So my wife is kind of my first advisor. Second, I have some spiritual advisors, and I have two, my pastor and my former pastor, both, by the way, in the same church, but I've sat under their spiritual direction for almost 29 years, and they keep me focused on my ultimate priority. They keep my moral compass calibrated to true north, and they just provide a consistent, positive foundation for me and a context out of which I can make all the other decisions in my life. So I really recommend getting a spiritual advisor or two, somebody that can help you stay focused on what's transcendent, what's important, the big picture, spiritual principles that you don't want to forget in the midst of all the chaos and all the decisions you have to make day to day. Then my financial advisors. You know, honestly, financial stuff is not a natural strength for me, nor do I have time to do it as well as I would like. Consequently, I have two advisors who help me make the best decisions I can make. One helps me with planning and tax counsel. And by the way, the guy that I should have hired back when I hired the first guy, this guy would have been a great second opinion. But then I've also got somebody else who helps me with the more operational issues. And frankly, I'm looking now for a third one, somebody that can help me more specifically in my business with some of the strategic issues, more like a chief financial officer would do in a major corporation. And I got kind of spoiled when I was at Thomas Nelson having a terrific chief financial officer in Stuart Bidding. And now I don't really have that, and I'm missing that key component, but I know I miss it. And I'm praying about that. I'm looking for that person. I've put out the call, and I can't wait to see who's going to show up. Another category of business advisor is my business coaches. Again, I only have one, and I'm looking for another one right now. But my current one is an accomplished business professional. He works with numerous executives in a variety of businesses. He provides objectivity, every once in a while a good kick in the pants, but he stretches me to do things I would never try without his encouragement, and he also keeps me from making those serious mistakes that I was talking about previously. I still need another business coach, and in the past, I've generally had two. They've been helpful, given me different perspective, not contrary perspective, but just a different perspective and given me expertise that I didn't have otherwise. Another set of advisors, my management team. I have two people here, Joy and Brian, who manage every aspect of my career. They're remarkable people. I'm blessed to have them, but they've got tremendous commitment, not only to me, but to the kinds of principles and the kind of culture that I am committed to. They've got the professional skills, the teachability, the eagerness to grow, all of that. But they're also very different from one another. They don't always agree, but together they give me a comprehensive view of our business. And as a result, I make better decisions. Then another part of my advisory team, my best friends. You know, apart from work, I currently have a handful of close guy friends. And this has not always been true in my life. You know, again, back when I was a Lone Ranger, you know, I had some acquaintances. I had people that I related to at work, but not people that I would think of as intentional friends or intentional friendships. Some of these today are also couple friends. In other words, we get together as couples. Gail relates well to the wife or the husband. I relate well to the husband or the wife. But we talk about what's important. This just happened to us this last Saturday night. A couple that we hadn't seen for a while, but a couple that we had been very close to throughout the years. We're at a similar level professionally. Just great, great input. Great challenge for me as I think through some of the issues that I'm facing. But we share our successes, our failures, our dreams, and our fears. And if something happened, good or bad, I know that these best friends would show up in an instant. Who is it for you, though? Who makes up your advisory team? I mean, if you sat down with your journal or with a piece of paper and just started sketching out, who is your informal board of directors? Who are the people that are advising you on the decisions that really matter, on the opportunities that are coming up, that the pitfalls that look like they might be ahead? So that's lesson number three, and that is you need multiple advisors. Lesson number four, you need qualified advisors. I can't emphasize this enough. King David said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Psalm 1 and verse 1. You know, it's one thing to get counsel, but that's not enough. You have to get the right kind of counsel. And this is the mistake I made in selecting my first financial advisor. So before I elevate someone to the status of, quote, trusted advisor, I want to make sure they have at least four qualifications. First, I want to make sure we have shared values. You won't discover these just by talking. It takes time. People demonstrate their values not by hanging a plaque on the wall or regurgitating a set of written values, although I think both of those can be important, but they demonstrate their values by their behavior. And I want to see that they're committed to the same things I'm committed to as evidenced by their behavior. Second qualification, professional acumen. I want to hire the very best person I can find to advise me in a given area. I want them to have broad, deep, and current information. And I want them to have made a lot of mistakes so they can help me avoid those same mistakes. There's no reason for me to make the mistakes that other people have made. I'll make enough on my own, thank you very much. But I don't want to make the mistakes that other people have made and learned from. Third qualification, a positive track record. You know, talk is cheap. I want someone who can point to consistent results. You know, I get people all the time trying to advise me on things. The problem is they're not that accomplished. It's all theory. They've learned it out of a textbook or they've read it on the internet, but they've not learned it in the school of hard knocks, and they've not learned it because they've had a consistent record in delivering results. And I want that. And that, generally speaking, means I'm going to gravitate toward older, wiser advisors, you know, who this isn't their first rodeo, so to speak. They've been doing this for a while. Fourth qualification, good references. Proverbs 18:17 says, "The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him." In other words, you shouldn't believe someone's story until you check it out. And I can't emphasize this enough. The major mistakes that I've made in hiring people, whether it was an employee or somebody that was just going to be part of my team as a contractor, is not checking their references. This is a difference maker. I never today hire anyone without thoroughly checking their references, because problems will typically show up there. And it's easy to be wowed by somebody's charisma or to be impressed by their own recounting of what they've done, their own accomplishments, or their own resume. But when you begin to check, issues will begin to surface, and that's what you need to do. You know, like somebody said, I don't know who it was, hire slow, fire fast. And most of us, and I had this tendency early in my career to do just the opposite, hire fast, fire slow, and that's a recipe for disaster. So in conclusion, like I said, your advisors can make you or break you, and you've got to think of them as your personal board of directors. They give you the accountability and the insight necessary to avoid a lot of pain and achieve more than you ever could on your own. So with that, let's get to some listener questions. And by the way, I've cut down this week on the number of questions that I'm taking. I'm getting a couple dozen every week, but sometimes they're redundant. Sometimes the audio quality is not that great, but I've really tried to narrow this down and focus on a couple of better questions so that they're not redundant. And so I can give you the kind of quality content that I think you're expecting and you deserve, frankly. So the first question comes from Adam.
Hi, Michael. This is Adam Rico from Sacramento, California, and I blog at workyouenjoy.com. Michael, my question is in regard to finding a mentor or advisor. What do you do when you've identified someone you'd like to be mentored by? How do you go about starting that mentoring relationship to have that person become one of your trusted advisors when you need them? Thanks so much for your podcast, and I look forward to hearing from you.
This is such a great question, and one I probably need to blog on, and I don't really have a blog that I can point you to, which is often surprising because I feel like I've blogged on so many different topics, but not on this one specifically. A couple of things I would say is once you've identified that person that you want to serve in the role as a mentor or as a trusted advisor, I would just start building the relationship. You know, see if you can take them to coffee. And always, by the way, always, always, always buy coffee. If you're going to invite somebody else to coffee, then buy. If you're going to invite somebody else to lunch, then pay. I don't care if they're older, they're richer, whatever. If you invite, then you pay. That's just like a basic courtesy, a basic rule. And don't think the mentor doesn't notice that. I mean, oftentimes I've thought to myself, this guy must be clueless because the checks come and he's waiting for me to pick it up, even though he invited me to this lunch and he's getting all the value out of it. And I'm doing really trying to contribute and add value. But anyway, I'm going on a rant. It's a minor thing, but it's an important thing, those kinds of professional courtesies. Be respectful of their time. You know, when you show up to that appointment, and again, you're thinking about asking this person to be a mentor, don't come without an agenda. Don't come and just talk about yourself the whole time. Ask them questions. Draw them out. Show that you're a willing, teachable student. When I'm involved in these kinds of coffees, and I get asked to this thing a lot more than I have the time to dedicate to it, unfortunately. But I do take note of that. And there have been times when I've gone to coffee or accepted an appointment, and basically I'm listening the whole time because the person is talking nonstop about themselves. You know, a conversation should be like a good tennis match, you know, give and take, you know, shoot the ball over, shut up and listen to the other person. And then, you know, if they're a good conversationalist, and this is one of the things you need to figure out in this role, is you want to make sure that there is that kind of adequate give and take. So don't ask the question too quickly, but get to know the other person. And then I think, and probably the first appointment's not the time to do it, but I do think you've got to be clear on what you want, what a mentoring relationship looks like. And then I would just ask the question, you know, to say to that other person, gosh, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do is to find some people that can mentor me, because I realize that I need help and I need some guidance. And, you know, as I've gotten to know you, as I've observed your life, I would just like to ask if you would be willing to serve in that role for me. And here's what I mean by that. And then be very specific. You know, are you expecting that they will meet with you every week? Or do you expect them to just simply be on call on an ad hoc basis when you've got a question or you've got a concern? Or do you want to be in a formal group? Get clear on that. And by the way, there's no right answer to that. Any of those can be fine. You've got to work this out with that other person and what time they have available. But to go ahead and clearly state what you want, and to state your expectations so there's no misunderstanding later. And don't be discouraged if they say no. I mean, honestly, these days I say no to almost everyone that asks because my plate is full. I simply don't have any more bandwidth. I wish I did, but I don't. And if I'm going to be faithful to the commitments I've already made, I have to say no to the new opportunities. So don't be discouraged if someone says no to you. Great question, Adam. The next one comes from Ben.
Hi, Michael. My name is Ben Nelson. I blog at anotherredletterday.com, where I transform lives by unlocking the words of Jesus. First, I would like to thank you for all you do and how fearless you are to share your failures as well as your successes. I have a question about trusted advisors. I have always had people in my life who speak into my Christian walk, people who hold me accountable, and people to bounce ideas and understanding of Scripture around with. Do you recommend having different people speaking into your lives in different spheres? For instance, business, health, spiritual? Or do you look for one well-rounded individual? Thanks for all you offer and add to our lives. You're a super generous example to us all.
Thanks, Ben, especially for your kind words. I actually look for both. I want those well-rounded individuals who aren't just somebody that's good in one area, but they really, you know, suck at everything else. You know, I don't want that in my life because I want to be a well-rounded individual and I need models for that. And my business coach is a good example of that. But on the other hand, I also want to get specialized counsel. And I'm not currently doing this, but in the past, I've employed fitness trainers who are really good at that one thing, fitness training or training for a marathon or whatever it is, and were able to give me specific counsel. So I don't think you have to limit yourself. You know, it's a great thing about having a board of advisors is that you can have more than one. And I also don't limit it just to the people that I can encounter face to face. You know, I really think of the people that I read, the podcasts I listen to, the blogs I read, the books and all that. Those people sort of provide a larger context of mentoring and advice that's helpful to me. So the more that you can get, the better. So I would do both. The next question comes from Dean.
Hi, Michael. This is Dean DeGuara from DeanDeGuara.com, calling from Folsom, California. What are some of the trust tests that your advisors have to go through in order to work with you? Thanks a lot, and looking forward to the answer.
Thank you, Dean. Yes, I do think that trusted advisors should be tested. Now, there's a couple ways to test them. First of all, other people, their previous clients or their existing clients or their existing employees, whatever it is, I want to look at their track record. And I talked about that above, but I think that's critically important. I want to check references. I'm not just going to take their word for it. And then the third thing I do is I also just give them usually an assignment that's smaller than in scope than the one I'm ultimately going to give them. So I want to make sure that we inspect as we go along, that we make sure that we have alignment between the two of us and we know what we can expect of one another. And then once we've had a couple of successful assignments, then we can roll it out beyond that. So that's a sense in which I test the people that I'm going to be working with and the people that I elevate to the position of trusted advisor. The next question comes from Richard.
Hi, Michael. My name is Richard Mancher from Springboro, Ohio, and I blog at richardshealthmusings.com. Thank you for all the valuable information you provide each week. Your podcast makes my commute a lot more enjoyable. My question, I'm working on moving into a career that more closely aligns with my passions, but I don't have an advisor or mentor in the area I want to be in. What have you found to be the most effective way to build a trusted group of advisors in a niche or career you are trying to transition into? Thanks.
Richard, one of the important things to do when you're trying to transition into a different niche is find out who the players are. You know, who are the leading people in that field and start reading them or start listening to them. It's amazing what you can absorb just by doing those two things. And it may not be possible that you can have actually a working relationship with each of those people. It may not be possible. But as you follow them and you see who's assembled in their community, it may be possible for somebody that's downstream from them to serve in the role of a trusted advisor or to serve in the role of a business coach or something else. For example, Dave Ramsey, you and I probably will not have a relationship with him that's a working relationship. He's a friend of mine, but even I don't have a working relationship with him. But there are a lot of people that embrace his philosophy. He's got a whole program of endorsed local providers, people that buy into his philosophy, that champion his principles, who have agreed to operate based on those principles and can advise you. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, another way to find out who these people are is go to the leading conferences in that niche. So find the people that are speaking, the people who are gathering there those tend to be the movers and the shakers. So if you really want to get on the fast track, immerse yourself in the literature, immerse yourself in the podcast, immerse yourself in the conferences. That, I think, will help you. The last question comes from Travis.
Hello, Michael. It's Travis Allison from socialcatalyst.ca. My question about trusted advisors is, do you think people's mentors should be from their industry or someone wise that they found from outside their industry? I wonder if they bring some insight to your job that those who are in the middle of it don't have. Thank you very much. It's Travis Allison from socialcatalyst.ca.
Travis, again, I don't think it's either or. I think it's both and. I want both kinds of advisors. I want people that understand my industry and can go deep with me in it. And then I want people who are outside of my industry that have a good overview of a lot of different kinds of industries so that I can go broad with them. So deep and broad, or deep and wide. Both of those things are important to me. Some of the best insights I've ever gotten were from consultants that were operating in a variety of industries and brought paradigms or models that were working in another industry that had never been tried in my industry. But we get so trapped into a paradigm or into a model of what works and how things ought to be. And it feels like when we're in it, that it's reality. And I put that in quotation marks, like, you know, things can't be any other way. And oftentimes we find from parallel industries that no, they're doing it a completely different way in that industry. And that might create the kind of breakthrough that we would need in our industry and our business to advance it quickly. By the same token, I've been in situations where I've had outside people that I just, you know, it took forever to get them up to speed because they didn't understand my industry and they didn't understand some of the, some of the issues that we were facing or some of the ways that business is done. So I think it's both and. Both of those will really serve you well. So with that, let me leave you with this question. Where could you benefit right now from having some trusted advisors? Maybe you've got an opportunity you're looking at. Maybe you've got a conundrum that you're trying to solve. Maybe you've got a problem that seems insurmountable. Where could you benefit right now from having some trusted advisors? To comment on this episode, go to my blog at michaelhyatt.com/56. As in episode 56, you can scroll down and leave a comment there. I'll do my best to participate, to answer questions, and to get you the information that you need. A couple of announcements before we finish up. Number one, I want to remind you about my 21-session audio course entitled Get Published. If you've ever thought about writing a book, and if you haven't, you should, but you don't know where to start, this course is for you. Or if you already have a book but want to do everything you can to make the biggest splash you can in the marketplace, this course will give you the tools you need to make that happen. And as I mentioned, the course contains 21 audio sessions, everything I've learned about publishing in my 30 years in the industry as a publisher, most recently CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers, as a literary agent, and as a two-time New York Times bestselling author. You can find out more at michaelhyatt.com/get-published. There's a link in the show notes. Second announcement, I have a number of speaking engagements coming up in the next few weeks. I'll be in La Mirada, California on June the 4th. I'm the keynote speaker for the Biola University Digital Conference. Very excited about this. But I'll be speaking on platform, Get Noticed in a Noisy World. You can find out more at michaelhyatt.com/Biola. Then I'll be speaking in Reston, Virginia on June the 14th. I'm a keynote speaker for Interpret America's 4th Annual Summit. Again, I'll be speaking on platform, and you can find out more at michaelhyatt.com/Interpret America. And then I'll be speaking in Concord, North Carolina, about 25 miles out of Charlotte on July the 26th. I'm a keynote speaker for Lisa Turker's She Speaks Conference. And I'm really excited about this because it's a publishing conference. I'm going to be doing not only a keynote on platform, but a Q&A for writers. And you can find out more at michaelhyatt.com/she-speaks. And if you're interested in having me speak to your organization or at your event, you can find out more at michaelhyatt.com/speaking. I have a list of my most requested speaking topics, some video clips of me speaking in front of a live audience, numerous endorsements, and of course, a calendar of all my upcoming engagements. Final announcement is my next podcast will be on this subject. I love this. Why you must confront seemingly indispensable but disrespectful team members. We all have those, or we've all known of those, or we've all worked with those in the past. I certainly have, and I'm going to talk about how do you deal with them. you've got a question about this topic, please leave me a voicemail message at michaelhyatt.com/podcast question. Again, a link in the show notes. This is a terrific way to cross-promote your blog or your website because I'll link to it just as I did with the callers on this episode. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. I'd be so grateful if you'd rate my podcast on iTunes. This helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible so people who have never heard of it can discover it. And if you've already done this, thank you so much. I'm grateful. If you'd like to comment on this episode, please go to michaelhyatt.com. Go to the show notes for this episode and scroll down to the comment section. I'd love to hear from you, whether it's a comment, a question, or whatever. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything?